All right.
Hi, guys.
Welcome back
to the Flake Chicks podcast.
I'm Jane.
And I'm Allison.
And how are you, Allison?
I'm good. We're clearly very excited to talk about this movie.
Yes.
Because we were talking about it, and then we were like, wait, we have to stop.
We have to record this.
We have to record this stuff we're saying. So, yeah, I'm really good. How are you?
I'm good. Today is your birthday celebration, Indeed. The day we're recording this.
Indeed.
So, that's going to be fun.
Yep.
And how does it feel being 22?
Feels a lot like 21.
A lot like
except
21.
Except I'm not in college.
Yep. That's about right.
Yeah.
We started rewatching Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Yes, we started that last night.
It's very, very good.
Such a good show.
It's on Netflix now, guys, in the U.S.
I finished Steven Universe today. All of it. It's over.
Like?
All of it.
Like adult and everything?
Yeah,
like,
everything.
It's all over. Oh, man.
It's really intense.
Are you okay?
It's really intense. I ended it, and I kind of was like, did they really put this on the air in a chilled... Like, I'm kind of shocked that it was made. I'm kind of shocked they greenlit it. But I think I read somewhere that actually the last season of Steven Universe... And, like, don't quote me on this, but I think I read this. That Steven Universe Future was not aired on Cartoon Network. And that it was only online. So you can only get it online. So I'm pretty sure that's the reason they let them go a little bit more, like... ham with the adult themes because it is there's some graphic stuff that happens. Like, there's no happy episodes.
Oh my goodness.
It's 20 episodes and literally not one of them is happy.
Man.
It's pretty.
I'm really excited to watch it. We watched some last night too, and I really love that show.
I know. It's pretty triggering. I was like, I was like, whoa, what's happening? I literally just kept being like, I miss, like, just the dumb, stupid episode. I never thought I would be like, can we have an episode not about Steven? Can we have an episode, like, we have a Ronaldo episode right now? I really could use a Ronaldo episode.
I can't handle it.
I really could use, like, a little breather. But it's really good. I was, like, really sad to finish it, but...
Yeah.
Also, it's really nice. Like, I think it ends really well.
That's good.
Definitely think they ended it correctly.
Yeah.
Really good.
Excellent.
So, I'm excited to talk about this.
So, today we're talking about the 2010 Best Picture nominee.
The Social Network.
And it won Best Music.
Hmm.
The score is really, really good.
It's directed by David Fincher.
Yeah, so you know.
It's gonna
Zodiac.
It's gonna be one of those movies.
David
Fincher always is really good at making, like, movies seem so intense.
So dramatic.
You're like, this is not, what's happening? Not that big of a deal.
It won for Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Original Music Score, and Best Film Editing, and it was nominated for Best Actor, Best Picture, Best Director, Best Cinematography, and Best Sound Mixing.
Wow. So it was based on a book called The Accidental Billionaires.
Yes.
But yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I really like Jesse Eisenberg as an actor.
Yes, it also has Andrew Garfield in it, who is super good. Super good in this. Justin Timberlake is in this. Brenda Song.
AKA
London Tipton.
And then Rashida Jones is there
Rashida
for a minute.
Rashida Jones is in it. It's star-studded.
It's true.
Someone else. The guys that plays the Winkler twins.
Oh, Armie Hammer.
Armie Hammer.
You might know him from Sorry to Bother You.
Sorry to Bother You. He's handsome. He's charming. Here we go. Plot. Wikipedia, as always. In October 2003, 19-year-old university student Mark Zuckerberg... Hey!
Hey!
That's his name! Is dumped by his girlfriend, Erica Albright.
Played by Rooney Mara.
Returning to his dorm, Zuckerberg writes an insulting entry about Albright on his live journal blog. Insulting's a nice way to put that. he basically accuses her of not being a girl.
Yeah.
Also calls her a bitch. And apparently his blog's pretty popular. Don't know why.
Yeah.
Like, he has four friends.
Yeah, he has one real, real friend IRL.
He has, like, one friend and then, like, his roommates. But apparently his blog blows up. I don't know.
It's popping.
It's popping at Harvard, which is where he goes. He creates a campus website called Face Smash by hacking into college databases to steal photos of female students, then allowing site visitors to rate their attractiveness. I just want to say, like, people used to do that in middle school.
Yeah.
When I was in middle school, boys used to create lists of, like, the hottest girls
mm-hmm.
and then pass them around.
Yeah, no, that definitely.
So I know how Face Smash felt. And this was same, almost same year. Not, I'm kidding. I was a child. I would have been, like, six. After traffic to the site crashes parts of Harvard's computer network, Zuckerberg is given 6 months of academic probation. However, FaceSmash's popularity attracts the attention of Harvard upperclassmen and twins, Cameron and Tyler Winklevoss, and their business partner, Divya... Is that his name? I know they say his name a lot. Diva? Yeah, no, it's not Diva. I know it's not.
Divya.
Divya. And then his last name is going to be even worse. Narendra. The trio invites Zuckerberg to work on Harvard Connection, a social network exclusive to Harvard students and aimed at dating. Zuckerberg approaches his friend Eduardo Saverin with an idea for The Facebook, a social networking website that would be exclusive to Ivy League students. Saverin provides $1,000 in seed funding, allowing Zuckerberg to build the website, which quickly becomes popular. When they learn of The Facebook, the Winklevoss twins and Narendra are incensed, believing that Zuckerberg stole their idea while keeping them in the dark by stalling them on the Harvard Connection website. Which, he did.
He did. I mean, yeah.
They raise their complaint with Harvard President Larry Summers, who is dismissive and sees no value in either disciplinary action or the Facebook. I also want to say that at the same time this is happening, this is, like, happening in, like, in present day, Mark Zuckerberg is being sued by the Winklevoss twins and by Eduardo in two separate lawsuits. And so this, like, we learn all this through, like, flashbacks of it being retold to the lawyers in depositions.
Yes.
So this is how we, like, learn all this. It's not, it doesn't happen, like, chronologically. Like,
yeah, it's a really interesting structure. I
it does happen, I like how it's It told. Does happen chronologically, but through the present.
Yes.
I guess. Or they're telling us through the past. Saverin and Zuckerberg meet fellow student Christy Lee, who asks them to Facebook me, a phrase which impresses them. As the Facebook grows in popularity, Zuckerberg extends the network to Yale, Columbia, and Stanford University. Lee arranges for Saverin and Zuckerberg to meet Napster co-founder Sean Parker, who presents a billion-dollar vision for the company that impresses Zuckerberg. He also suggests renaming the site Facebook. At Parker's suggestion, the company moves to Palo Alto, with Saverin remaining in New York to work on business development. That's a nice way to put it. So Mark Zuckerberg becomes infatuated with the guy that started Napster.
Played by Justin Timberlake.
And very quickly decides to move the entire company to Palo Alto without consulting Eduardo, who is the CFO.
Who has been putting all his money into this business.
And Eduardo says, we need advertisers, so I'm going to try and stay in New York. And Mark's like, all right, well, I don't care.
Oh, it's pretty brutal. And they were, like best friends.
The idea that it was a decision made on the behalf of the company. It was made on the behalf of Mark Zuckerberg. All right. Let's see. Yep. After Parker promises to expand Facebook to two continents, Zuckerberg invites him to live at the house he is using as company headquarters.
Very strange.
Very strange. Parker's very strange. Parker is...
That whole scene with him in the bed with the girl where we're getting being introduced to him.
Yeah.
And he's like, she's like, I just slept with the founder of Napster.
At first he seems kind of charming. And he is charming.
Yeah.
But then the more you get to know him, the more you're like, this guy might be on some drugs. The more you're like, this guy maybe isn't
all there.
Hyper stable. I wouldn't rest my hopes on him. I mean, like, if we think about it, the guy that started Napster is probably not the most upstanding man. The man who literally started, like, one of the shadiest websites on the internet to get music for free.
maybe not the most upstanding of citizens.
Maybe not the guy you want associated with your business. But hey, Zuckerberg loves Napster, as do we all, so what can we do? It's 2003, baby. While competing in the Henley Royal Regatta for Harvard against the Holodinia Row Club, you know, I hate them.
You know,
none of this matters to me. I don't
care. It didn't matter in the movie. It doesn't matter now.
You know, the names are not important. The point is that the Winklevoss twins row for Harvard, and they're in a big competition, okay?
Yeah.
If you're rich, you know what those words are. And if I pronounced them right, if you didn't know what it was, you wouldn't know what it was. So it doesn't really matter, right?
Who cares? We're all friends here.
We're all friends here. The Winklevoss twins discover that Facebook has expanded to Europe with Oxford, Cambridge, and LSE, and decided to sue the company for theft of intellectual property. Meanwhile, Saverin objects to Parker making business decisions for Facebook and freezes the company's bank account in the resulting dispute. He relents when Zuckerberg reveals that they have secured $500,000 from angel investor Peter Thiel. Saverin becomes enraged when he discovers that the new investment deal allows his share of Facebook to be diluted from 34% to 0.03%. This is a great scene in the movie.
Oh my god, it's one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie.
Because he learns, and it's like, he learns in silence, okay? You don't hear it being told to him, you just see him freak out. And he walks to the door and he talks to Mark and he's like, how much was your share diluted? And he's like, none. And he's like, how much was his share diluted? And he's like, none. And then you find out the only person whose share has been diluted
was Eduardo.
Eduardo's.
Just out of spite.
Yeah, basically.
Out like, of spite. And it's really sad because Eduardo was like, I didn't want the business to end. I just wanted to get your attention by freezing the accounts because you were just being crazy with this whole Napster guy. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I know.
And then he just was like, oh, your share's down to 0.03%.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and what's interesting, too, is technically, like, legally, it's kind of hard because Eduardo agreed to it because he signed the papers. But we'll talk about what I think about this legally in a minute. At the end. While maintaining the ownership percentages of all other parties, he confronts Zuckerberg and Parker, and Saverin vows to sue Zuckerberg before being ejected from the building. And this is such a good moment, because he says, you better lawyer the fuck up, buddy, because I'm not coming back for 30%. I'm coming back for it all. Ooh. And then he leaves, and I was like,
Andrew Garfield is so good in this.
He's also so hot.
He's so hot.
Andrew Garfield is so hot. Okay, also I have to say this. Andrew Garfield is the best American accent of any English actor.
Oh my gosh.
You so literally good. Can't tell.
No.
Literally you can't tell. Like, most English actors you can kind of tell.
That I would just assume that he was
American. You would assume he was American. No, it's insane.
Yeah.
He's insane. He's such a good actor. He really got screwed by playing Spider-Man.
Very true.
He should not have ever played Spider-Man.
No, it
stop playing superheroes, you dum-dums.
People do not take you seriously afterward.
No. Unless your name is Chris Evans.
And I mean, I know that he was nominated for an Oscar after he played Spider-Man.
But still,
I think it sullied his career.
I think a lot of people can't like him anymore.
I agree.
Because they ruined, like, Spider-Man
for him. They're like, I like the other Spider-Mans. He's my least favorite Spider-Man. And I'm like, but he's a good actor.
You're like, it's true. He is the worst Spider-Man. We all agree. But
Separately,
he's also good. I don't know, it's like, unless your name is Chris Evans, you can't have a career before or after superhero movies. Like, everyone else, I mean, like, Robert Downey Jr. has done, like, one other thing other than, like, the Avengers.
Yeah.
Other than that, pretty much every movie he's ever been in is trash.
Very true.
I guess it's not totally true. Like, Scarlett Johansson has a big career.
Scarlett Johansson does have feel a
like
large it, career.
Also, like, Mark
Ruffalo?
Mark Ruffalo. Yeah.
He's just eternal, though.
That's true. I mean, they have a lot of good actors. It's mainly Robert Downey
Jr. He was eternalized in 13 going on 30.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
People are like, oh, I will give him anything.
He's just so handsome.
He's so handsome, especially in that movie, and he's so charming, and you're just like, I would do anything for you.
It's mainly Robert Downey Jr. But I just feel like once you've played a superhero, it's kind of like, people are just always going to think of you as that superhero forever.
Yeah.
Like, Scarlett Johansson has such a large, like, career.
She just got nominated for 2 Oscars and in the same year.
I think a lot of people still are just like...
Oh, Black Widow.
Black Widow. Even though it's like, she was really famous before then, and she's still really famous now.
Yeah.
But people are just like, Black Widow.
Black Widow.
It's hard. I mean, it's a huge thing. It's like, Daniel Radcliffe can fight all he wants, but he's always going to be Harry Potter. He can do whatever. He can get naked on the stage. Nobody cares. That is Harry Potter.
That was Harry Potter right there.
I'm watching Harry Potter get naked on stage. Anyway, that's the... He shouldn't have taken that job. It's so sad. Let's see. Saverin's name is removed from the masthead as co-founder.
Oof.
Later, Parker is apprehended for cocaine possession at a party celebrating the 1 millionth user. Now that is truly understating the situation.
The situation.
That's not even what Mark is upset about. Mark's not even upset about the coke.
No.
Mark is upset because Parker threw a party where only basically interns... Let me put it this way. This was a party for workers, and the boss showed up and did coke off one of the interns.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Here's where you really start. I mean, before this, you kind of know Parker's like a piece of shit because he's trying to cut out Eduardo, who's like the nicest guy.
The nicest guy, and he's like literally the one who's been putting forth the money since the beginning.
Right. And like, what has Parker done? Literally said, let's call it Facebook.
Let's call it Rup the.
I mean, I guess he did get it onto 2 other continents. I don't know. Parker's good, but he's like...
Eduardo's been there since the beginning.
And also, Parker isn't that helpful.
No.
I don't know. So, basically, he has kind of a... He likes to sleep with women who he has power over.
Yeah, and he really likes women who are under 21.
Yeah, he likes young women. He doesn't ever, like, sleep with anyone underage... But he's like 24 or 25, and he certainly mm-hmm. never sleeps with anyone his own age.
No.
And Mark basically gets really upset because...
And he's the boss, and he sleeps with the interns.
Interns, yeah. So it's like, no.
No.
Anyway.
That's why Mark's upset.
He attempts to blame Saverin, Parker does, so Zuckerberg cuts ties with him. This is really funny, because in the movie, this literally happens like an hour after...
Yeah.
But an hour after Eduardo was like, I'm gonna sue your ass. And then it's like, he's like, well, I'm sticking by Parker. I'm sticking with my good friend, owner of Napster, Parker. And then like literally an hour later, he's like out of the company. In depositions, the Winklevoss twins claim that Zuckerberg stole their idea, while Saverin claims his shares of Facebook were unfairly diluted when the company was incorporated. Marilyn Delpy, a junior lawyer for the defense, informs Zuckerberg that they will settle with Saverin, since the sordid details of Facebook's founding and Zuckerberg's callous attitude will make him unsympathetic to a jury. Alone, Zuckerberg sends a Facebook friend request to Albright and repeatedly refreshes the page. So in the movie, and in real life, they did settle with both the Winklevoss twins and with
Eduardo.
The Winklevoss twins got $65 million,
mm-hmm.
and Eduardo got an undisclosed settlement, but I have a feeling his shares were probably restored to him.
Yeah.
And, of course, we don't know that for sureies. Also, he was put back on the masthead, so he's mm-hmm. Credited as one of the co-founders of Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Legally?
Legally speaking.
Legally, I don't think the twins deserved shit because it's not illegal to steal someone's idea.
No.
Like, I mean, it is.
And also, he changed the idea.
Yeah. I was like, it is to a point. If he had, like.
I'm going to start a business called the Harvard Connection.
Yeah. If he had. First of all, they had no written agreements with him. Mm-hmm. Bad call.
Yeah.
They should have had a written agreement. Maybe then they would have held, like, some weight. But they had a verbal agreement that he was going to code something, a dating site called the Harvard Connection, which would have been a dating site exclusive to Harvard students. But he decided to, the only thing that's really similar is originally Facebook was going to be exclusive.
Yeah.
And that, like, to Ivy League students, which is the idea, and that it's a social network. But MySpace existed, and MySpace can't sue Facebook for, like, existing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think they had literally any leg to stand on.
No.
I think the only reason he settled with him legally is, they settled with him legally is because he obviously looks really bad.
Yeah.
Like, the Winklevoss twins had no legal leg to stand on, and they definitely would have lost. But also, in the process, people would have found out, like, how shitty Mark Zuckerberg was. And they would have probably not used Facebook as much. But Eduardo's case, I definitely think he had...
He had so much going for him.
I think here's the only thing that really would have, like, crippled his case. Which is that he signed a contract in which he agreed that his shares could be diluted infinite amounts. Mm-hmm. Which he should have read, that contract. The fact that he didn't is really dumb. But if I was his lawyer, what I would say is, like, and I don't know if this is a good legal argument, but probably the argument I would have tried to make would, and to a jury, would have been, well, maybe he signed those papers, but since he was a co-founder of Facebook, mm-hmm. the lawyers that presented him those contracts technically worked for him.
Yeah.
And that by putting in secret clauses that would, like, that they knew later would come back to bite him, and not warning him of that, that those lawyers were tricking him,
mm-hmm.
and basically were attempting to undercut one of their own clients, and that he has, like, a reasonable expectation to believe that the lawyers that he is paying for, which he literally is paying for them,
yeah,
because Mark Zuckerberg did not put any money into the company.
No, it was all
the Eduardo. Fact that Eduardo's money is paying for these lawyers and not Mark Zuckerberg's money, I think he has a reasonable expectation to believe that the lawyers that he's paying for should be looking out for his best interest.
Yes.
And the fact that they weren't, the fact that they were undercutting him because they were, like, secretly working with Mark Zuckerberg to cut him out,
mm-hmm.
is, like, I think legally that's very shady. And I think even if that's not, like, legally there's nothing you can do about mm-hmm. that, I think to a jury,
yeah,
they would agree that, like, okay, well, what if I was a business partner and my business partner, and I put all the money into the lawyers, and I pay for the lawyers, and then the lawyers secretly cut me out?
Yeah.
Like, what? That doesn't make any sense. I think most people would agree that that is fucked up.
Yeah, agreed.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, basically, like, definitely, I think they settled because they knew that if any of this stuff had come out in court, it would have been very bad for Facebook.
Yeah, would have, like, really tarnished it.
Facebook wouldn't probably be what it is today.
Exactly.
Like, it was still new enough
mm-hmm.
at the time.
Wasn't as ingrained in our psyches
as it is now. Yeah, it definitely, I think, would have probably fallen apart because people wouldn't want to give money to Mark. Or if Eduardo, you know, ever decided to go make a website.
Yeah.
They would have gone to him, or, you know. Obviously, it was to protect Mark Zuckerberg's reputation. I like the part of the movie where she's like, oh, we're going to settle. And he's like, what? We could totally win. And she's like, this is the equivalent of you getting a speeding ticket.
Yeah.
Literally, just take it.
Just take it and move on.
She's like, who cares? Like, you win, buddy. Either way, you win. Like, she's like, and if they're just trying to leech off you, whatever, who cares? I do think Mark Zuckerberg, you can tell in the movie, he does feel a little bad, especially about Eduardo. I mean, he does not give a shit about the Winklevosses.
No, but yeah, in the depositions, like, there's a couple scenes, it's where, like, the lawyers know that they were best friends.
Yeah.
And sometimes something will come up where it's like, oh, Mark really, like, screwed Eduardo over, and everyone will get really silent.
Yeah, because they all know that it happened.
They all know that it happened, and they were like,
everyone knows that Eduardo got screwed over. And also, not only that, here's the thing. I think Mark Zuckerberg didn't just screw, I think Mark Zuckerberg was insanely jealous of Eduardo. I do think mm-hmm. that. But I don't think that's the entire reason he screwed Eduardo over. I think he screwed Eduardo over because Eduardo was really not that useful to Facebook anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Eduardo was super useful when he needed, like, ground money.
Yeah.
But in the end, like, they had so many angel investors. Like, who cares? We do mm-hmm. not need Eduardo's money at all. And at that point, but also it's like, well, you agreed to give him a certain amount because he did do the work early on. And now that his work isn't as valuable, you can't just take away.
Yeah.
Like, everything. So I think it, I do think, like, I get why Mark Zuckerberg did it, of course. Mm-hmm. But also, it's like, that's very, first of all, legally shady, but also morally very shady, like very bad. Not even shady. Clearly wrong.
Very spiteful.
Yeah. And I think that Mark Zuckerberg kind of, like, was able to tell himself that that was the reason he was cutting him out, mm-hmm. and not because he was mad at him or whatever.
But it was because he was mad at
him. I think it's because he's mad. I think because he was mad at him, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Mark Zuckerberg was like, well, this is my thing, and not only that, but, I mean, it's just a pride thing where it's like, you could tell Mark Zuckerberg would get mad whenever people would call him a co-founder.
Mm-hmm.
And because Mark Zuckerberg wants to be the founder, and he doesn't want anybody else's name next to his.
Yeah.
He wants, like, everything to be about him. I don't know. It's interesting. I did look up, like, how much of this was accurate, of mm-hmm. course. The truth is, not a lot. about, like, 40%. So, a lot of the factual stuff is true. Like, that is what happened. He did steal the Winklevoss's idea. They did ask him to make a Cycle-Harvard connection. He did dilute Eduardo's shares unfairly. They did sue him. Like, all that stuff did happen. As far as, like, but I'm not sure it was as maybe, like, dramatic.
This is a David Fincher movie.
It's a David Fincher movie. Okay. It's, like, it's one of those things where it's, like, for one, Erica Albright doesn't exist. I mean, she might exist as a person, maybe. Yeah. But he didn't date her, and he didn't ever write that she was a bitch on his blog. He did write some girl was a bitch, mm-hmm. but from what I understand, it's just some girl that, like, he asked out, and she said no. But, for one, like, this movie does kind of paint him as, like a sex-crazed, like, guy that just is doing everything because he's trying to get back at girls or whatever.
Yeah.
He had a girlfriend during this whole thing. Like, the whole movie takes place, the whole time the movie takes place, he had a girlfriend in real life mm-hmm. who he's currently, like, married to.
Yeah, and they just had a kid.
Yeah, so that probably wasn't accurate.
But, yeah, the romantic angles and the sexual...
So that wasn't really true.
Yeah.
That was more just, like, making it interesting, I think. He apparently is not as much of a dick in real life as he is in this movie. I mean, in this movie, he's just very rude.
Just terrible.
I mean, and a lot of people, and this is, like, not confirmed in the way that I mean, like, Mark Zuckerberg has never confirmed it, and he technically has no known diagnosis, but a lot of people think that Mark Zuckerberg is probably autistic.
Yeah.
Like, on the spectrum somewhere. Like, probably, generally, like, people think Asperger's.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that he would probably not be the most, like, the best at social interaction.
Not the most socially aware.
Yeah. Which I think is pretty accurate to Mark Zuckerberg. I think if you watch
him interact with people.
Yeah, he doesn't always do the best.
Yeah, he doesn't really he doesn't really seem to know what to do.
Yeah. Mark Zuckerberg is definitely a very awkward person, and a lot of people say that, but nobody really says that he's, like, out of the way rude and mean. Mm-hmm. He's more just, like, very awkward.
Yeah.
And, like, I guess blunt, but not blunt in the way that he is in the movie, mm-hmm. where his bluntness is, like, mean.
Yeah.
I don't think he's, like, truly trying to hurt people.
Yeah, he's kind of cruel in the movie.
Yeah, I don't think he's cruel. I just think he is not socially adept.
Yeah.
Let me see. I'm trying to... There's this BBC article, but it's not, unfortunately, not broken up into the most, the, like, easiest to read off mm-hmm. points. So I'm trying to, like, hit the good stuff. I'm trying to see. Sorry. Yeah, a lot of people just say, like, the movie made Mark Zuckerberg look like a much worse person than uh-huh. he was. But, for example, like, painting Eduardo, this is from businessinsider.com. This is a quote saying, painting Eduardo as a victim and Zuckerberg as a villain, the film neglects to mention that Facebook began to be starved for cash while Eduardo Savering was in New York. Mm-hmm. It got so bad that Zuckerberg's families took out loans for the servers.
Oh.
So, like, the angel investing was really important.
Gotcha.
And that the ads weren't really helping. Nor does the movie mention how Eduardo put up free ads for his own startup on Facebook without telling anybody at first. And then also apparently Eduardo and Mark were not as close of friends as the movie portrays them as. Like, they were friends, but they weren't, like,
best friends.
Best friends. There, Mark had another CTO originally named Adam D'Angelo, who was Mark's classmate. But they ended up not working together. So the movie doesn't bring up how much Eduardo Saverin partied in New York while Zuckerberg was out in California building the company. in one late night, he writes to Mark, "So you guys go out a lot to parties and such there?" And Mark says, "In general, we don't do fun things, but that's okay because the business is fun." Also, the movie starts with a falsehood. Mark Zuckerberg never rode for a crew team. He actually did row for a crew team when he was in Exeter, which was his elite boarding school that he went to.
Interesting.
But he never rowed for Harvard, which is true. The movie Zuckerberg calls Facebook co-founder Dustin Moskovitz a programmer, but actually Dustin was an operations guy who really struggled to learn how to code. But he's not an idiot like he appears in the show, in the movie. I'm gonna say this guy.
Divya.
Divya. Is like in the movie, he's the one that really pushes the Winklevosses to sue.
Yeah.
But in reality, he did not even go forth with the lawsuit. He was not even a part of the lawsuit.
Interesting.
Like, he did not care. Like, he thought it was crappy, but he didn't care. Sean Parker was arrested for cocaine possession, but not in California and not during 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not the reason he was kicked out of Facebook. And the movie suggests the Winklevoss brothers didn't go to the Crimson with their complaints about Mark Zuckerberg. False. They definitely went to the Crimson and dipped them off. But lucky for Zuckerberg, the movie also leaves out the story about how he used Facebook data to break into a Facebook user's private email.
Oh.
Bonus. The real Mark Zuckerberg is not nearly as cool as Jesse Eisenberg's Mark Zuckerberg.
Jesse Eisenberg is pretty cool.
I know.
He plays a pretty cool Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
Like, in a mean way.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think that essentially, like, I mean, it's always going to be a little bit more complicated than it is in a movie.
Yeah, like, definitely.
Mark Zuckerberg didn't just one day, wasn't like, "I suddenly hate Eduardo and I'm cutting him out." And Eduardo wasn't like a perfect angel who was doing nothing but helping Facebook and then just suddenly was cast aside. And the Winklevosses weren't these upstanding Harvard men who just didn't want to sully their reputation with suing a man.
Oof.
Seemed like they were totally fine with suing him. But, you know, it's a movie, and you gotta kind of have a villain, you gotta kind of have a hero.
Yeah.
And also, if you thought that Mark Zuckerberg was totally in the right, you'd be really upset when he lost the settlements, which did happen in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, whatever. Like they said, it's literally a car. It's literally a speeding ticket to Mark Zuckerberg. So who cares?
Exactly. So just these are some trivia items. Mm. So Jesse Eisenberg, who is diagnosed with OCD, said in an interview that one of the hardest things about the role was having to deliberately speak and behave in a manner he had struggled against in his own personality his entire life. Mm. Let's see. Mark Zuckerberg originally planned never to see the movie. He ended up taking several of his employees to see it, and he later remarked that despite some of the film's inaccuracies, they got his clothing right. Natalie Portman revealed during Newsweek's 2011 Oscar roundtable that she gave a dinner party for writer Aaron Sorkin while he was writing the script for this movie, to which she invited a bunch of her friends from Harvard. She wanted to give him the chance to listen to firsthand stories about the social life at Harvard University.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's see. Andrew Garfield came into rehearsal with a copy of Economics for Dummies, inspired by that move Jesse Eisenberg bought C++ for Dummies. According to Eisenberg, both he and Garfield read the introductions of their chapters and then put them down. Jesse Eisenberg and Andrew Garfield became good friends during the filming. According to Eisenberg, the dramatic rivalry between their characters was hard for the two because it affected them emotionally.
Aww.
The Winklevoss twins were, of course, also both played by Armie Hammer. However, Ralph Lauren model Josh Pence played one of them strictly from the neck down. His face was digitally replaced with Hammer's to make them appear identical, as the two men are unrelated and look nothing alike. But the two spent 10 months in twin boot camp to make one another subtle movements and rapport.
Aww. I bet they became friends.
As a part of his research, Jesse Eisenberg read a copy of Mark Zuckerberg's college application. Zuckerberg's essay focused on his love of fencing, so Eisenberg took a couple of lessons. He quickly realized it affected his posture and the way he moved and applied the knowledge to his portrayal of the character.
Hmm. Interesting.
The real Mark Zuckerberg had never heard of an appletini before seeing the movie.
What?
After he tried one, he liked it so much that he made Appletini Facebook's official drink.
Oh my god, Mark Zuckerberg. He was like, yes, this is great. Thank you, Facebook. Thank you, the social network. David Fincher changed my life by introducing me to the Appletini.
But every time he drinks one now, he's like, ah.
Ah. The social network. Also, I want to say Face Smash was real. That was a real thing that Mark Zuckerberg really made. He really almost got expelled from Harvard for it. And it's actually that inspired Facebook. Face Smash is what inspired Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg says it's not because of a girl. I don't know how true that is.
I don't know.
It's hard. Because it's like, there's no proof either way. But yeah. Also, you know. He says not because of a girl. He just basically said that after he saw how successful Face Smash was, that he was like, this gives me an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, also, Harvard Connection gave him a wonderful idea along with Face Smash. But, yeah. So he said he didn't create Facebook to get girls. So.
Okay. You
know. Okay. Of course. Of course, Eduardo Saverin was not as fun. Also, apparently Sean Parker was actually much more helpful than he was in the movie.
Okay.
Like, apparently he basically, whenever Saverin would not make the right decision, a lot of times Parker would step up and, like, do the things that Saverin was supposed to be doing.
Mm.
And Parker was eventually the person that replaced Saverin until he did get into trouble.
Yeah.
With the cocaine.
Interesting.
Yeah, which was, that was actually in North Carolina in 2005. He was arrested on suspicion of drug possession, but he was never charged. But the Facebook investors basically weren't happy and pressured him into resigning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so he actually wasn't like, he did get fired because of drug possession, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
But also, he wasn't like, he was like actually working for the company. He wasn't like just some freeloader on the thing. So yeah, I have a review.
What would you give this movie?
Oh, probably like an 8 out of 10. It's pretty interesting. It's pretty interesting.
Good. Yeah,
pretty
8 out of 10. It's, the acting's really good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to make sure that I'm not looking at Room. Yes. Okay, I've got two reviews for this because honestly I just could not pick.
Okay.
Which one do I do first? This one. Okay. 1 out of 10, cheap Hollywood cliched movie. Okay, I can't possibly begin to understand how this movie got a Golden Globe and was nominated for an Oscar. In my opinion, it was very flawed in many ways. I hated the main character. He's supposed to be some sort of programming genius. This person seems to not know that Facebook is real. This person seems to not know that Mark Zuckerberg actually created Facebook. So here we go. He's supposed to be some sort of programming genius. He talks fast. He is somewhat socially indifferent. He is too smart to be understood. If you have some experience in programming, especially web programming, you will realize that what he's saying is rubbish. In the first part of the movie, he hacks 4 websites by using their search form. Yeah, he's a genius. He creates the in relationship feature of the website in 8 seconds. Here is the boring American hacker. It's an American movie. Everyone can hack a computer. Child's play. Computer genius. Cliched stereotype. This really happened. I'm confused. This part, that's not the part that's made up.
He really was a programmer.
He really did create Face Smash by stealing photos of girls from other schools. And he also really did create Facebook. He's like, who came up with this guy? Who came up with this character? Sometimes life is stranger than fiction. There are two twin brothers, big guys, full of muscle, little brain, another stereotype. They go to Harvard. I don't know how, like, little brain they can be. They're not little brain. They just kind of get screwed. The script was weak. I think the acting was decent. The movie is lame, stereotyped, and has no real depth.
Okay.
Very confused.
Very
confused. On the other hand, this person is quite aware of Mark Zuckerberg. So this is a 1 out of 10 called Mark Zuckerberg would hang himself watching this crap. This person loves Mark Zuckerberg. Like, this was literally written by his wife.
It was written by Mark Zuckerberg.
It literally was, I can tell. First of all, this movie is highly overrated. 8? It's worth 4 or 5, not more than that. I'm a Facebook addict, and that... Here we go. I'm a Facebook addict, that's all in caps. And that's the only reason I saw this movie. Please, Google the picture of Zuckerberg and then see this actor Jesse Eisenberg's face. Does it match even 20%? They're literally like, we couldn't find an actor ugly enough to play Mark Zuckerberg. Unfortunately, all the famous actors are pretty hot.
I'm sorry, Jesse Eisenberg was just a little bit too hot to play.
I'm sorry, Jesse Eisenberg looked a little too good to play Mark. You're right, Jesse Eisenberg's eyes don't pop out of his head the same way Mark Zuckerberg's do. Mark Zuckerberg is a crab person, constant pushing of the other body with this stretchy skin and the eyes that can, like, barely stay in the sockets... That's hard to recreate if you're not a crab person, and Jesse Eisenberg isn't.
Yeah.
What type of idiotic casting is this? Zuckerberg in real life is highly charming, and...
I've met him.
I'm like, smoking those meats. That live stream where he's just 30 minutes of him going like, I'm just smoking ribs and brisket. Sweet baby Ray's really good on my ribs and brisket. Is anyone having ribs and brisket tonight? Yeah, highly charming. There's literally so many videos on the internet called, like, Mark Zuckerberg being an alien for 20 minutes. And it's this person's like, he's highly charming. The way they portrayed him in this is not at all accurate.
I would say he's more charming in this movie.
Oh, yeah, I agree. At least he has, like, some kind of appeal. He has the appeal of, like, a guy that, like, you know, that you're like, oh, can I fix him?
Exactly.
Like, no, but... And they select some dumbass looking stupid who can't even act well for this movie. Dumbass looking stupid.
He was nominated for the Oscar.
Dumbass looking stupid man. It doesn't even look like Mark Zuckerberg. How am I supposed to enjoy this? Many mistakes with the appearance of sights were there. The screenplay was quite boring and deviated at times. Armie Hammer and his body double Josh Pence were the only good part of the movie. They gave us the twin effect. Yup. They looked like twins. Good job. In a documentary drama, they should have avoided things like sex and drugs, etc., which were just added to commercialize the movie more than to bring out the exact story. Overall, this is just a costly ad for Facebook, like a user already reviewed. Watch only if you are a Facebook addict and have time to kill. Who openly is like, I'm a Facebook addict and that's why I saw this movie. The only reason I saw Facebook is because I am addicted to all things Facebook.
Not because of the critical acclaim.
I didn't see it because I wanted to know about Mark Zuckerberg. I did. I'm obsessed with Mark Zuckerberg.
He's so charming.
He's so charming and hot. I can't believe they got ugly, stupid-ass Jesse Eisenberg to portray him. At least they got the clothes right. I'll say that. At least Armie Hammer was very twin-like. Very good. I love it. The first one, like, didn't even know Mark Zuckerberg was real. And the second one was like, this is not real at all. He's like, I wrote the biography on Mark Zuckerberg, and I can tell you this is only 40% correct. I wanted to watch a really boring documentary about Facebook's conception. I didn't want to, they said this is a drama documentary, and I was like, where does it say drama documentary?
It says drama. It's a drama.
This is a historical fiction. That's like being like, you know, in the Civil War. I doubt this even happened. Who would have had time for this? You're like, who cares, buddy? Oh, I love it. I am a Facebook addict! Literally so much of it was in caps. I wish you could see. I wish I could show you through the podcast. Okay, well.
Thank you guys for listening. Let us know what you think of the podcast on iTunes.
Yeah, follow us on social media and on Patreon. This week, we're covering Room.
Yes, not The Room.
Not The Room.
But Room.
Room. Brie Larson.
Yep.
That one.
All right, guys.
All right. Bye. Bye.